I was away on study break for the last few weeks, and I was able to dip into one of the books that our Narotan lecturer wrote, Spiritual Rhythms. And in this book, Mark Buchanan speaks about the rhythms or the seasons of life that one finds themselves in. And that got me thinking about this text and this sermon this morning. So some of it is borrowed from Buchanan, some of it's my own thoughts in there. But we've had such a strange winter season, haven't we? It seems to have come and gone, you know. I saw on someone's Facebook page up in New Hampshire, spring blossoms coming out on a branch, and it said, take that, January, you know. So we're maybe not sure what season we're in anymore, and that may be true for you spiritually as well as it is for us physically. But one of the classic texts about seasons is Ecclesiastes 3. And it reminds us that God is the one who brings us in and out of the seasons of our lives. And so let us hear again this word about God affecting all that happens and change in us. Ecclesiastes 3:1, hear the word of the Lord. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down, a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search. A time to give up, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, make us aware of your presence in each and every time we face. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I know there's a pretty important football game happening next week, and on my Facebook page, after both the Giants and New England won, it was posted this joke that I'm going to share with you now. There was a plane crash, apparently, on the way to the Pro Bowl, and the all-star quarterbacks had to appear before the judgment seat of the Lord. And so first came in Eli Manning, quarterback of the New York Football Giants. Eli, what do you believe? The Lord asked this accomplished player. He said, well, I believe in you, Lord. I went to chapel every week. I helped Pastor Dahl when he came hand out his teaching notes, and I did my job with excellence. I was more humble than other players. I didn't say much about it, but I was serving you in everything I did. And the Lord said, very well, then you may sit at my left hand. And then came in Tim Tebow. And the Lord said to him, Tim, what do you believe? And he said, well, Lord, you know I believe in you. I kneel down after every touchdown. You helped us succeed. I serve you in the offseason. I even put John 3:16 on my eye black so people would know about your son. And God said, you're right. You may sit at my right hand. Finally, in walked Tom Brady of the New England Patriots with all the swagger of a three-time Super Bowl champion. Tell us, Tom, the Lord asked, what do you believe? And without batting an eye, he looked at the Lord and said, I believe you're sitting in my chair. I think Tom Brady maybe needs to hear Pastor Greg's sermon last week about the fear of the Lord. But that's some of the way that some people see this young man. Well, as good a season as Eli and Tom have had this year, they will both enter the off season after next weekend's Super Bowl. One will be a winner, one will be a loser. We'll just have to wait and see who turns out to end their season with a great joy and who ends their season cast into regret. It should be a great game. We look forward to seeing it. But before we see the Super Bowl, we also have the great privilege of being a part of the Nerotin Lectures. And Pastor Mark Buchanan is going to be a wonderful lecturer. And some of us have been reading his books. Some of the Bible studies are reading. He's written several, and I think he's going to share material from his new book that's coming out just this winter. But the one I've been reading is Spiritual Rhythms. He wrote it in 2010. And he wrote about the seasons of the soul and the seasons of life that we can go through as spiritual people. And one of the topics he touched on that hit me was the season of winter, the season of hibernation and dormancy, the season of difficulty, the season that really some might feel is an off-season. And it hit me that those of us who live in Fairfield County may feel like we never get to have an off-season because we have high expectations of fruitfulness no matter what time of year it is. If you're in the financial services, you're supposed to give a stunning quarter after quarter after quarter of return. No excuses. There are men and women I see who go off to work early every day and come home at night, and their only downtime is about 10 p.m. and maybe a few three-day weekends. There are men who've confided to me in the last year, and I'm sure the women working have felt this too, they're working twice as hard for half as much, and that may be the new normal. There's no more spring, there's no more fall, there's no more harvest. It's all winter. It's all hard and heavy sledding. What happens if you can't produce in such a time? What happens if the winter that we're facing out there economically is also the winter that we're facing in our own personal life? What happens if a health crisis hits us? Or what happens if a child hits a rough spot, or an adolescent gets sucked into drugs, or we become terminated in a layoff? What happens if we become an unexpected widow or widower? These sort of tragedies are like facing winter in our lives. It's a time when life seems to shrivel up a bit and sunlight seems to shorten and all hope and joy recede. How do we face this? We know how to enjoy the good times. We don't need a lot of advice about the sunny seasons of our life. But the trouble is those sunny seasons don't prepare us very well for winter. Difficulty, the off seasons of the soul. And Ecclesiastes reminds us we don't get to pick the seasons that we are entering. Times that tear, times that cause us to weep, times that bring a period of mourning, times of birth and times of death aren't times we plan always in advance. They come upon us like winter blowing in a cold wind from the northwest, and all of a sudden it's upon us. And we ministers are used to helping people mostly in the winter of their life. And we come in with hope and we come in with prayer, but we know sometimes it will be a difficult moment for our parishioners. There are some sicknesses that we will see turnaround from, many of them, but there are some sicknesses which are unto death. There are some marriages that we pray to God and we find God working and there's compassion and it comes back together, but there are some marriages that are just going to come apart. One of the hardest conversations I have to have is when one individual comes to me and says, I think it's over. And I have to say, as hard as you may try, it takes two to make a marriage, but only one can break it. And when that happens, winter descends upon the soul. Winter can overwhelm us, but winter can also make us stronger. Winter or an off-season is a time to rebuild, reassess. That's what the sports teams do when they come to the off-season. They look back, they say, what can be improved? What can I focus on? And I believe that we can come through winter as well, as long as we are willing to apply a few principles or to find a few ways to do what even Paul said to Timothy, to preach the word of God in season and out of season, to stay and find God in the midst of the off season. So let me offer these principles, some mine, some Mark Buchanan's. First one is I'd tell you to do is this. When you hit a low point in life, when you are in winter, face the facts that that's indeed what it is. It does no good to pretend that life is sunny and bright when it no longer is. It doesn't help us to escape into denial or idealism when life is really difficult. When I receive a call from someone who just lost their job, one of the things I try to do is compliment them for even calling me. It's good to reach out. And I encourage them to do that to a few other trusted colleagues, because we cannot help people when we do not know the facts. But your network will help you when you're going through that kind of difficulty. People who care for us can only be compassionate about what they know. And so they need to know what's going on. If our children are struggling with something, it's good to let their teacher know that so they can help them along the way. Maybe a few friends need to know as well, so that child will have their encouragement. If you're a senior citizen and you're struggling, you're having a difficulty, you have a health issue, let your children know. They want to help you and they want to know. And if you don't have children nearby who want to know, let us know. We want to help you. We want to be with you in these difficult times. It'll bother them. It bothers us when things are kept from us. Winter is best faced with those who love you and can help you. It's hard to go through a winter alone. We should also turn to the Lord when we enter a winter season of life. I had a friend who just learned that he was terminated, and I said, you know, it might have been from an oversight or selfish motives that this company was acting, but God is still with you and he will use it for good. Don't let winter make you think that God's abandoned you. He hasn't. Tragedies happen. Injustices occur. Difficulties come upon us. In fact, God didn't turn from the world when the world turned from him. God entered the world through the person of his son. And Jesus faced his own winter by going to the cross, so that by his work on the cross we would be forgiven and healed and brought into everlasting life, brought out of the winter of this world into the sunshine of God's heaven. So don't believe that God has abandoned you in winter. God is there. It just feels that way. Reach out to him. Reach back to him. And trust in him that he's there. I've often prayed to God, God, shorten this period for me, and he hasn't. So I will tell you that there are some prayers he may not answer, but they're for our own good. Usually the lesson has to be learned just a little bit longer before God knows it's time to shorten it. Believe, trust, hold on to the Lord in the winter of life. Secondly, besides facing the facts when things are tough and sharing that with those who love you, we need to realize that winter, like any season, has a beginning and will have an end. Seasons come and go. They sweep in on us hard and fast, or sometimes they slowly dawn upon us. But in God's sovereignty and in God's mercy, they do come to an end. C.S. Lewis found himself in love later in life. He had this friendship with a woman, Joy Davidman, who had fallen in love with him and sort of drew him into this friendship. Well, she ended up having terminal cancer. And Lewis ended up marrying her in a civil ceremony so that she could stay in England and receive care. He then ended up falling in love with her and having a church blessing of their marriage. And lo and behold, after prayers for healing, she went into remission. And he said the winter that he had married her in turned into a beautiful spring of love and marital bliss. It was a period that God gave them. And then he did take Joy from him. And Lewis wrote about that in his book, A Grief Observed. But how many people have found that God has come into their life and brought them through their difficulty and brought them something much better on the other side? How many have lost a job and found out that the next job was even more fulfilling and even more of a blessing than the one that they had been afraid to have had been let go from? How many people have had a difficulty and found a marriage that crashed on the rocks, and yet a second one was a blessing that God brought them to in their life? God does bring us through these experiences to change us, to deepen us, to help us, to heal us. So don't lose hope in winter. Endure the winter, and spring will come. Every day you make it through winter, you're one day closer to that. And so hold on in hope. Mark Buchanan, in his book on spiritual rhythms, gave this story that I found very remarkable. He met a missionary in Thailand who had given most of his life to translating the scriptures to a tribal people in the Philippines. And He had just reached the end of that work. He was now elected the head of his organization that he was a part of. And then a tragedy struck, and he became a quadriplegic. And he was in the hospital, unable to move. And another accident hit him in the hospital, and something tore his nose off of his face, and he couldn't see. So here's this man who had served God with his whole life, lying there, unable to move, hurting, blind. And in walks a woman who he had ministered to and discipled earlier in his life. And she came up to him and whispered a profound truth in his ear. Don't forget in the night what God has shown you in the day. In winter, Buchanan wrote, we all need someone to whisper that into our souls. When winter comes, it's best to admit that we're in a difficult period and let others know. It's important to understand that God will bring us through it and out of it. Third thing, understand that in winter, one of the projects is to sink our roots deeper in such a season of life. Winter is a time for prayer and for pruning. That's a very good advice that Buchanan gives for any of us who are in this time. Prayer's difficult when you're hurting. There's no doubt about that. It's difficult when you're disappointed in God. We're not happy when we go out of summer into fall and into winter seasons in our life. But guess what? There are people who have already been hurt and angry with God, and they've written prayers, and they've been preserved for us in the Psalms. Winter is one of those times you can pray through the Psalms and you'll find people formulating what you're thinking and feeling, and it becomes a tremendous way to connect with God. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me, Psalm 35. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, Psalm 121. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice, Psalm 130. The scriptures are full of people who had to reach out to God at the hardest times of their existence. God created our souls to commune with him, and sometimes the way that happens is by putting us through life's difficulties so we reach down deeper and try to be closer to him in any way we can. There's a work in our souls that happens in winter that won't happen at any other time. This is the time I've often told people when they come to me in deep tragedy, I say, this is a time to pray the Lord's Prayer, only go slowly and let each of the verses sink into where you're at. Our Father, God is your Father. Give us this day our daily bread. God knows your needs and will hear them. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. God will help you and your children in this time. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. It's really God's. It's not ours. We're not in control, and we may be learning that once again. You know, just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were reflecting at how blessed we are with where our youngest son has landed at this point in his life. I'm not sure that 10 years ago when he was 13, we would really believe if someone told us where he is now at 23. I mean, he's finished college. He's happily married. He's running his own business successfully. He's bought his first house. He's run mission trips for his church. He's just doing amazingly well. But in his elementary school, we went into a deep winter with our son. He was diagnosed with dyslexia, and he was deeply discouraged as he had a very bright mind for anything he could hear auditorially, but he could not take in anything visually. So he was always grouped in the school class with those who had much more diminished capacities. And he wasn't making any progress, and he felt stupid, and every day it was going to something that would be the hardest thing for you to do. School was miserable. And I remember one night Deb called me at the church and said, you'll have to come home. Jack is pounding his head on the wall. I don't know how to help him with this, but we both need to be there to get him through this. It was, as I said, as dark a winter as we faced. We prayed for wisdom. We asked anyone we could for advice. Educators told us, your son is fortunate. He has two parents who stand behind him, who haven't given up on him. I had a random call to a minister who told me that he had a son in a similar circumstance and said, Sam, don't let him quit school. Our son dropped out and has been miserable trying to help him find his way. Well, our son did drop out in the ninth grade. He just couldn't make it in the shift of classes and the teachers trying to keep up with his educational plan. And fortunately, through great prayer and networking, we got him into a very specialized school, and we got the school district to pay for it. And so for 2 years of our lives, we drove 200 miles a day to get him through this school. We prayed. We pruned down our life. We came together, and we made it through that winter to reach this spring and summer we've reached now. You know, the temptations of winter are to sort of pull the covers over our head and just hibernate. That's usually not the right way to approach them. The time that we go through winter, we need to increase our investment in our faith, increase our relationship with the Lord. We need to be involved in the worship with God's people. We need to have a small group praying for us, so it's time to join a group. We need to be involved in the sacraments and sing the hymns and choruses, even when we don't feel like it, because God wants to work on our soul, even when it feels dry and brittle. We need spiritual disciplines and the disciplines to practice them when we're in winter. There's a final thing that we need to realize when we're in winter, and it's this. When you're in winter, think back to all the springs and summers and falls you've had by God's goodness, and they'll give you the hope and the help to get to the next spring that's on the other side. You know, when you come out of surgery and you're totally worn out, you may feel like, I'll never have my vim and vigor again. But that's not true. God will work, but usually slower than you think. When you get the pink slip, you think, I'll never find meaningful work again. But that's not true. Oftentimes, God has another plan and another way to use your gifts and skills. You know, it's really easy for us to forget that God has the ability to give us a new assignment and a new strength and a new day. I remember visiting one of our members who had been a lion in industry one time and was really in the senior years. And I said, how are you doing today? And he just said candidly, I'm bored. I'm going to die of boredom. Well, I don't think he did die of boredom. But we have to realize that we are going to have times and periods of high productivity and lower productivity. And we've got to find what God wants us to do in each one of them. Every athlete knows there will be a time when you stop playing the game. It doesn't mean that you stop serving God or finding God's purpose, but you have to find a new purpose and a new way that God will use you. And so God may use us to pray or to encourage others or to bless those who are in leadership because we're no longer leading something. But God gives us the ability to live as fully as possible and usually brings us out of winter to a season of spring or maybe even to heaven. I remember when my father was 88, he almost died. He had been in a serious car accident. He caught a blood infection in the hospital. He went to the ICU, and yet he was spared. And so he had to go through rehab to get his way back. And I remember walking into his rehab room, and there he was filling out the paperwork to continue his law license. And I said, Dad, what are you doing? You know, I thought it was just good enough that he was alive. He said, well, I figure if God spared me, he has some purpose for me, and I'll work as long as he wants me to work. Well, Dad did get back to work. He worked for 3 more years of his life. But at age 90, he got to walk his last child down the aisle and saw his 52-year-old daughter get married for the first time. God took him through winter to a very lovely spring, and he lived 6 more years after that until God brought him home. The scriptures tell us the truth that all humans have learned as they serve the Lord. There's a season for everything, a time for every purpose under heaven. And if you're in an off season, and if you're in a difficult time, God has a purpose even in that. So learn from him. Lean into him. Trust him. And he'll bring you back to spring. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the purposes of these seasons. And it's always hard to give you thanks for difficulties, but we can give you thanks in our difficulties that even there, you are there to help, to teach, to rescue. And we turn to you now in Jesus' name for all of that. Amen.